with Aaron Cow.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cow with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports and a Mole. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little bit about what's upcoming this week for the Thunder after a tough loss yesterday to Detroit, lowly Detroit. You know, maybe they did what I did. They woke up yesterday morning, they looked at the Western Conference standings, and they went, oh my goodness, we're number one. And immediately lost to the worst team in the league. One of the worst teams in history, at least on this pace.
You know how you know you've made it if you're the Thunder? This is the year that they're considered contenders is when your phone blows up with those sports alerts saying, massive upset. Yeah. Last year, that's not a thing. This year, it's like, Thunder losing to that team, that's a massive upset.
Last year, it was a positive. Or 2 years ago, for sure, it had been a positive outcome. Losing a game to Detroit like that. So coming up, Minnesota tonight, Denver this week, both home games. They got four straight home games throughout the week. And really important ones with Minnesota and Denver for what may happen later on, because the Thunder can clinch the season series against both Minnesota and Denver.
That's true.
And if that happens, then that could work in your favor when tie breaks happen later on at the end of the regular season. So those are important games. And also, there's the head coaching of the All-Star. Is that going to be decided tonight between those two? Although the Clippers are closing fast. I think they are all 14 losses now after yesterday. But anyway, hit a little bit of that. Conference championship weekend on the NFL gridiron. The Chiefs continue to just dominate the AFC. It's amazing what's happened in the AFC over the last two-plus decades. When you think about what we saw from Tom Brady and the Patriots, and now it feels like it's being followed right up by the Chiefs. Fourth Super Bowl in 6 years. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And a chance for Mahomes to have his third win in the Super Bowl in the 6 years that he's been the starter. Who gets the credit yesterday? Who catches the flack in the AFC game? Speaking of Mahomes, I mean, where is he at already, all time? Is he already in the top 10? I think most would say yes. Has he crept already up into the top five, especially with the win on 2 weeks from yesterday? So we can have that conversation. Man, the Lions, America's sweethearts, just crushed the Niners in the first half. It was awesome. And then they blew it in the second half. What was Detroit's major flaw? Do you have any problems with what Dan Campbell did on the fourth downs? And then Purdy. What do we say about Purdy? He's such a conundrum to me. He makes some horrible plays, then he makes some great plays. His stat lines aren't ever overly impressive. Yet, you look up, and the guy is like 21 or 22 and 5 in 2 years as a starter. An NFC title game a year ago in which he got hurt on the first series. So there's really no way to pin a loss on him. I mean, could we be talking about a guy that should have been in back-to-back Super Bowls? He's such a – it's a weird conversation around him. And then the high school hoops. I'm going to tell you something. If you had any doubt – whether or not Bethany is for real as the defending state champ in the girls' side, don't have any doubts. They're for real. Oh, my goodness. It's just kind of jarring to see the size and the athleticism. They're like the girls' version of Weatherford in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of similarities there. But, man, they were very, very impressive. Man, Merritt's got Hammond's number. That what, five in a row over the last 2 years?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I think they beat them three last year. maybe even four last year. I think three.
I think it was three.
Three and then two already this year. And then, of course, the Class A and B playoff assignments. We can talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. I just got a picture from the other night where the girls are standing on the free throw line, and the Bethany girl is literally a head taller than the Elk City girl. And it's not even and it was one of their subs. Not even one of the main ones, the main starters.
Unreal.
225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the app. The app's got it all. It's got the radio. It's got the Penny News. And then, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Just what would it be? A week from Thursday? Playoff hoops get started in Class A and B?
Yeah.
You know, a week from Thursday.
Right, in some cases.
In some cases, yeah. Thursday, Friday, for sure.
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we're fastly approaching wrapping up this, at least A and B, the regular season.
Yeah, and then the next week will be 2A through 4A. Well, the final rankings come out today for 2A through 4A, and then we'll have the pairings on Friday for those larger classes. How are you today, Jared? How was your weekend?
That was nice. Man, what a day yesterday was, right? I pushed the kids outside, do something, and I was doing stuff outside. It was so pretty outside. And yeah, it was a great weekend. Had Friday night off, took the kids over to Mountain Man's, threw some axes. I tell you what, James is lethal with that thing. Look out. Once she figured it out, my youngest, she figured it out how to throw it. She was addicted. More so than Katie. She was actually doing it better than Katie, and I was driving Katie crazy. But no, we had a good time. So shout out to Mountain Man's. They're very generous to us, as always. I know they're very friendly with us over here at the station. And but not great food and you know what, it was perfect too because it was raining, and I said, hey, we need to go do something Friday night because this might be my last Friday night open, guaranteed open for quite some time. So we came up with that idea, and it was a great idea. And Saturday did some basketball over at Clinton, and then of course Sunday was great with I actually watched I was out able to sit in my back porch and watch some of that football while I was doing cleaning up my back porch yesterday. So how'd your weekend? Enjoy this weather too?
Yeah, played golf yesterday. I turned about a 62 or 3 into a 67 because I couldn't make a 3-footer. I literally missed 5 of them throughout the round.
What's going on?
It's good at golf as I played in a long, long, long time, but couldn't finish off the putts. Every time I missed one, it cost myself and Joe win. It was just one of those things. Just so sad, so disappointing. Like, that's what I told my wife last night. I was like, you know what? That really stinks because I don't know if I'll ever play that good again. Like, I'm getting too old to play that good.
Were you, like, looking at your putter head like, what is going on?
I was
on
just
here?
Like, man.
What is up?
I missed the first one on number three, like literally a 3-foot putt. And I was like, man, I would normally, just count that as a gimme.
Sure.
And then I did it again on number six, and then I did it again on number eight. I did it again on number 13. I did it again on the last hole.
Do you think if you'd hit that very first one, that rest wouldn't have happened?
Probably.
Like, it probably built up in your
probably
mind.
Probably so.
Yeah.
It just continued to go, oh, here we are again.
Yeah.
Am I going to miss again? So, that was disappointing, but it was fun.
Well,
it was a great day.
Any day of golf in January, you'll take that.
It was a nice day. A bunch of people out there, so it was good.
I bet it's going to be busy this week. Today's supposed to be, I think, a little warmer than yesterday.
Yeah, almost 70 today.
That's crazy.
By the time it's all said and done, so... And I know there's Wednesday. There's going to be a bunch of people playing.
Allie and I were getting ready this morning. Like, how do you dress? I forget how to dress for warm weather.
I put on my shorts. I put on my shorts, brought a jacket in case I need it later
A light jacket to start the day and you can shed it later. Yep.
Yes, because it's gorgeous. All right, Friday night. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Bethany is unbelievable.
Like,
unbelievable.
Clearly the best team in 4A.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Where do they
best team we've seen for sure.
Where do they?
Okay, here's
they. That's
this,
the way.
This will give you an idea.
That. Yeah, go ahead.
This will give you an idea. I think most people have seen ceiling, right?
Right, yeah.
Ceiling's awesome.
In some form or fashion.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all would agree. Ceiling is an awesome team. Two-time defending state champs in Class A. They are incredible. Almost no, you know, it doesn't matter what class. They're a very, very, very good team. Bethany beat them by 30. Well, I'm sorry, 26. 85-59.
Wow.
The losses that Bethany has had. So they lost to the largest class in Arkansas is 6A. They lost to number one Northside in the finals of the Tournament of Champions in overtime, 71-69. And I've heard that that game should have been theirs. There was some weird stuff that happened on the home floor of Northside High School, like calls and all that kind of stuff. Like Bethany should have won that game. Hmm. So that's one loss. Their second loss was by five to Edmond North, Class 6A number one, two-time defending state champs. Then they went to Washington, D.C., and they played at the time. I think this team is number 17 in the country. I'm talking about the national ESPN poll. Number 17, by far the biggest loss they've had, 63-46. So they got that game by 17 in D.C. Then they turned around and played a couple days later against a team that's now number 7 in the country, Morris Catholic from New Jersey, and lost that game by 4. They go, 5'10", 5'10", 5'10", 6'1", 6'3". Zaya Van, senior, probably 5'9", 5'10", something like that. She's headed to OU. Kaziah Lofton, junior point guard that's 6'1". She's going to OU. I mean, they're just loaded. And they're good. Man, they're good. So that was it was a tough night, obviously. I mean, there's not – the Elkettes played hard, but there's just not a lot. There's not a lot you can do about it in that game. So they were really impressive. I've seen, for instance, Anadarko. When you just look at the other teams, like in 4A, because the good news about the Western Conference is you get to see these games.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, a lot of these top 10 to 15 teams are in the Western Conference, and so they play. Kingfisher number 10 at the time when they played them, they beat them by 15. Which, kudos to Kingfisher. It's a hell of a job. Tuttle, who's now number 8. They went ahead and beat them 70-41. And Adarko, who's number 4, they went ahead and doubled them up 64-32. You know, I mean, just...
All right, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's they're good. And, yeah, they're going to be really, really difficult to beat.
Best girls team in the state.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that since Edmond North beat them. But...
True.
They're right there. I mean, I don't think they'd be scared to play them again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'd be scared to play anybody and have a great chance to win. So, okay, here's another one. I just now realized how highly ranked this team was. In that tournament over in Arkansas, Ida Bell win as well. 3A number 2. They beat them by 20. So, yeah, they're good. Bethany boys, I don't know. The Elks had every chance to win that game. Tied going in the fourth quarter. Now, they did lose their point guard, Aiden Todd, which he makes the thing go. He rolled his ankle right before half and didn't play in the second half. So that I'm sure that helped the Elks in some capacity to stay close. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Elks had every chance to win. What's going on? What about the matchup? What does Merritt do against Hammond that seemingly nobody else can?
I was able to catch the last part of that game. And I think Hammond played him better the second time around than they did the first time at the Bi-County. It just looked like they were – man, I'd love to get Ed's opinion on this. And I was in contact with him this weekend, but I didn't ask. It just looked like they were just how do I put this nicely? Outrunning them, getting up and down the court quicker, just a tad quicker, executing a little better. I just saw that because I was out Friday night and I'm checking on my phone, but it wasn't until I got home and I turned it on and thought, okay, let's see if we can get a good fourth quarter here for fan value. Let's mm-hmm. just see if we can watch them. And it never really had Merritt never really had a problem with Hammond. And it could be when it's mounting up like that, just a mental thing too with Hammond, like trying to, we got to beat these girls. We haven't beat them in a while, and we just can't figure it out, and they maybe overdo it. I always have to keep reminding myself that these are still high school kids, and they're always thinking about that too. You know, and sometimes you overthink that when really you just go out there, play your brand of basketball, and you got an opportunity to win a lot, especially with Hammond, with their personnel. But let's give credit to Merritt, though. I mean, they're really good.
That's what I think it is.
For good reason. They're ranked, what, third in 2A for a very good reason. Yeah, Jeremy put it on the text line, what I wanted to say.
They got athletes to match up, and here's another thing that they are. They're physical.
Yes.
Merritt can play. Merritt is as physical as anybody out here. And, you know, when I've watched them last year especially, you know, it felt like they had somebody in front of and behind West all the way up the floor. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just a constant double team of her, at least last year, in a couple of the I was able to peek in and watch some of it, depending on what I was doing, you know, at tournaments and what have you. But I think, yeah, they match up. They're one of the few teams that can match up athletically, and they've got just enough size to kind of bother West enough. You know, mm-hmm. I just think the matchup, and Merritt's really good. They do. They're beating everybody, but ceiling. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're fantastic. They're gonna be one of the contenders in Class 2A for a reason. With what Coach Doherty's got out there, it's just kind of weird when you see a team seemingly have the number of another one. Mm-hmm. You know, they've won five in a row. They split the year before. Looking back at some different things on the schedule, so yeah, 6 out of 7. No one else is doing that. Right now against Hammond. So it's an interesting dynamic with what the matchups are in that one. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Come back and we'll hit the Class A and B assignments for the playoffs. Can tell you who's going where, what the road looks like, and more. Hanging out here on a Monday. Got some football coming up in a little bit as well. What happened in the conference title games? We have Super Bowl 58. Rematch a couple years ago. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Hanging out here on a Monday. Got all kinds of things to discuss. One of the coolest days, right? A day that everybody waits on throughout the entirety of the season. And it happened finally on Friday. It is the release of the Class A and B playoff assignments. Everybody waits on it. Everybody can't wait to see, okay, who's going where? What's the path? What's the split up? And all that kind of thing. So, Jared, give us an idea of what you saw from what was released by the OSSAA on Friday, and kind of just your overall reaction to what was released and who's going where.
I think a lot of it was expected. I think we kind of mapped it out where we thought, you know, where the top ranked teams would be going. Woodward, yes, is hosting, but for the first time in recent memory, they're not hosting a Class B area. They're hosting Class A Area 1. So that means Leedy is heading elsewhere. still north, but maybe a little further north and east up to Enid. Not a bad place to go, but Woodward's hosting Class A Area 1, which means, you know, really good teams will go up their way, namely Sealing. And so that one we kind of – but again, we kind of had this mapped out. There's some big questions locally with, you know, like Sentinel boys. You know, where would they go in Canute and all, you know. And I think before we knew this was coming out, we kind of mapped it out. We kind of had a good idea of where the final – how the final – what the final rankings were. From that, we kind of had a sense of who could be paired together out of the top eight, who else can be inserted in there. And I think we got it right for the most part. So always interesting, always going to be interesting. And the, you know, the first thing you do, at least in my mind, was, okay, what are some potential matchups after district? You know, who can match up in regional? Maybe what's a regional final going to look like? And what does that mean for area? And could there be some upsets? And that's a whole bunch of other stuff we'll have to break down and be a little more clear once we see a bracket. But it's just an exciting time of the year. What was your first initial reaction? Anything stand out to you?
question on the text line. Who's number one in 2A? Riverside did. Riverside beat – who was number two in 2A? Beat Sealing this week 59-41.
Did they?
On Saturday. Yeah.
You see who else lost this weekend? But who? Not like it matters, but Dover girls lost.
Oh, they sure did.
This weekend to
Geronimo.
By
three. Dale's number one, defending state champ. Dale is number one in 2A.
Let me ask you something.
20-1. The lone loss is to Millwood.
This is probably a question for a coach, but when we say they don't matter, when the rankings are locked in, playoff pairings are out, and we say, I mean, to a coach, they'll say, yeah, every game matters. You're playing, it matters. I get that. But when a loss like Dover just took, does it matter when we assume that they're going to get through the playoffs and get to state? Does it matter when they meet, get together and start seeding it? Go, listen, you know, they did fall a couple times.
No.
Doesn't matter at all?
No. You mean like for a state tournament bracket?
That's what I'm saying. Does it matter in the – in their eyes, or they look at, or do they think, well, and their coach is there saying, well, actually, I held out a couple of my girls that night.
It seems like in the past, what is used, the rankings follow through.
Sure, and how they got
their
area champs.
That's right.
Yeah.
If they win, if Dover, Lomega, Mountain View, and Hammond all go through to the state tournament undefeated, I think those will be how it's seeded.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dover and Hammond will be on the same side, and I think Lomega and Mountain View Godibo will be on the same time. Where it starts getting weird is when if somebody loses. You know what I'm saying? But I think if the top eight all made it, I think you'd see Dover play Arnett. Now, as long as they weren't in the same area. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'd see 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5.
I was just having this thought over the weekend of, well, what if there was a, like a Florida State situation where a star player got hurt, and hopefully that never happens. But you see what I'm saying?
I don't think they care.
Gives them pause.
I think that's the point of this. They lock it in here, and that's the basis of what happens later.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it seems like.
Yeah, it does.
In the past, it seems like how that's gone is, you know, how they were. How they were ranked and locked in on the rankings is kind of how it goes. But, you know, maybe
but we've never seen anything like that.
Maybe that would change if somebody, you know. I think, though, the idea might be that if somebody lost a player that was important, they wouldn't going to make the state tournament. They're not in the state tournament anyways.
Yeah.
Unless it obviously happened at the end of an area final or whatever. But, no, I think that's kind of the basis of what it would look like is how they were ranked in. And that seems flawed to me because there's
how it's locked in.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a hell of a lot that can change between January 22nd and February 28th.
Right.
A lot can change in a month.
Talk about injuries.
Young people getting better, or teams just kind of finding their – there's lots of things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, here's the deal. Once you get to state, you're going to have to beat everybody anyway. So what is it? I mean,
right.
I understand there could be an easier path than others to, say, a final. But you still got to go win games. So, you know, it's I don't – it doesn't seem like it matters what happened. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It seems like it all comes back to what these rankings look like in the event that we see – the top ones make it. I think the OSSA did a fantastic job. Again, that it feels like everything's pretty spread out, as is the goal.
I haven't heard any rumblings of why are they sending this team there. I haven't heard any of that.
The only thing that I could find, and I'm not all the way through B-Girls. It's like I can't find a team here. I completely overlooked somebody. Maybe they're just hidden. No. Talk amongst yourselves.
You're looking for...
There's Frontier. They're right there. They're the very first team listed. I just totally missed them. All right, so there is... In Class A girls, there's one area that has six ranked teams. The other one has four, and one of them has four, instead of just five across the board. Some of that can't be helped very much, like, because of geographical purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of happen. You know, it's just kind of the way it is. You know, that Area 1, we talked about whether or not Woodward would be the host. It ends up being Enid to kind of try to spread the wealth a little bit from the panhandle to, say, north central Oklahoma. And I think that's part of the reason why, just because of the geographical spread of that area from the tip of the panhandle to east of I-35. That's why you get six there and four down in Area 4 that's kind of the southeast corner in Class B girls. Class A girls has the same thing. Between Area 1 and Area 4, it's just flipped, right? There's more in the southeast than there is in that northern part that's all going to Woodward. But overall, I really don't think that you can look and go, I mean, there's certain teams, and I think you always find this for the teams that are ranked, like, say, 9th through 12th, just outside that top eight, where you go, ooh, they got a hard road. And one of those teams, I think, is Canute on the boys' side. Mm-hmm. Even when you look up, now they're the ones that are there, but then if there's a couple of teams ranked around them, behind them, that's when you kind of go, ooh, that's a little bit of it's a harder road than maybe some others have.
Some ranked teams, Allen, Drummond, obviously Sentinel. There's a fourth in there. Well, Canute. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Fortunately for them, hosting district, subside over at Arapahoe, and then see what happens at Union City. But, yeah, that's a tough one for them.
Yeah, at number 16, to have, you know, 3, 7, 9, and then 16 and 18 all in the same area. It's just that's the way it kind of goes sometimes, though. Mm-hmm. And everybody's kind of got that. You just don't. You hate to be the first. You hate to not be the first team out of the top eight in the rankings. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because at that point, then it feels like, oh, I got to upset two teams instead of just maybe one to be able to get there and get to the big house. So that's one that kind of stood out to me. But overall, I mean, it is going to be strange, really strange, for that Class B area not to be at Boomer Fieldhouse. It seems like that's been, gosh, ever since we've done this show.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since we've done this show, that's been Woodward in Class B, and you just knew that that's where the area tournament was going to be. But here's the deal. It makes total sense why it's not. You know, a team like Goodwill last year on the boys' side, who made it to state tournament, they lost everybody. And now they're not really a factor. You know, the Leedy girls, not as much of a factor as they have been to kind of help, like, them and Arnett be the two that would, you know, make it there. And so it makes total sense with, you know, where everybody's ranked. It seems like, especially in on the girls' side, you know, down a little bit south and even, you know, in that southwest part, if you count, you know, Mountain View, La Kiva Sickles, Geronimo, all, you know, those those schools kind of taking the torch away a little bit from the northern schools.
Yeah, that's you mentioned the tough. I mean, Frontier's what, they're top 10? Oh, girls, top 10. There's Arnett. Where are they at?
8.
I got so many tabs open. And of course, Leedy and La Mega. That's a tough area.
That's got six
on the girls' side.
That's got six ranked teams.
Six of them.
Six, yeah. 2, 8, 13, 16, 10. Okay, let's go in order. 2, 8, 10. 13, 16, 20. Mm. Yeah, that's a...
yeah.
Five of the top 16 in the same area. That's a tough one. There's no doubt about that in Class B girls. No doubt about it. And especially when you think about Lomega being one of those teams and just the... You know, we hear that name, you go, oh, well, I was hoping not to necessarily be in that area. You know, with as seasoned and as tradition-rich as they are. Anything else that, like, any games that you see coming, like, man, I like that. I can't wait to see what happens in that game, whatever that game might be.
I'd really have to study it. I was really curious on the boys' side where Sentinel would go. And who would be in their area? And I don't see, I mean, anybody giving them a problem in that area. Without knowing anything about Drummond, though, or Allen. Allen with, what, one loss? Or is that their girl?
Yeah, I mean, 19-1.
I mean, that one maybe be interesting.
Drummond's played some good teams close. They really haven't beaten anybody. Beat Pond Creek, who was number 11, after losing in the finals of a tournament to Pond Creek. You know, played Jones close, but lost. A bigger school. You know, I've seen Woodward on the boys' side. They're okay. And they just thrashed them. But then you look up Frontier, the top 5 team. They couldn't get it done against Frontier. So, yeah. I think it's they're an interesting case.
Back to the travel side of things, are you a little surprised they're sending Dover and Calumet all the way to Henrietta for an area?
kind of
felt like that they were destined for Enid, but maybe because they just ran out of places, that was the next closest spot for them. I don't know.
Yeah, when you look on the boys, the natural matchups can't happen because they're in the top 4. Like, for instance, Duke and Fort Cobb kind of seems like pretty natural to meet at, say, Cache, which first time in forever I can remember Cache doesn't have an area in A or B. But they're number 2 and number 3. You know, so the it was like the West schools are the top 4 of the top 5 or what have you, and then everybody, you know, there's in the bottom of the top 5, you got to send them somewhere, and it's just kind of it's kind of the way it worked with teams pretty far over there, kind of Ada or so, mm-hmm. and then teams, you know, around El Reno, you know, around Highway 81. So, you know what I'm saying? Is you're just not – there wasn't a lot of different choices, I don't think, as far as finding places in the middle. And, yeah, they got to go a little bit further down I-40. You know, but like, no, I mean, you think about these places, it's usually Cache, it's usually Woodward. And now you're seeing Noble, Henrietta, Enid, and then Bridge Creek. I think it's just the way it's split up this time. It's just a little bit funky with how it's split in A in Class B.
Facilities help. I've been to, like, Alec. It's Alec, right?
Yeah.
I've heard it both forever. You know, that's where regional site for Hammond, although they get a sub site. You know, Noble, I've been there. It's a really nice facility.
Yeah, and I was told I was told Bridge Creek is really nice.
You'd have to assume so. They're hosting an area.
Yeah, I was told it was nice.
Yeah. Not too far away from the metro. It's not horrible. But that, yeah, I did, just looking at the Dover Calumet thing. You know, their girls team, obviously Dover, pretty good. Calumet boys, we know about them. And then I saw Henrietta. Henrietta.
Yeah, they kind of Dover and Calumet kind of went together.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, like a boys girls, even though they're not the same school, they were kind of together though. With where they're at and the lack of success maybe on the other side.
Well, that is part of it.
You know, boys and girls on, you know, they didn't have to, they just kind of glued them together. Yes, Woodward, question, Woodward moving to 3A. I know that's happening in football.
I think that's a football only thing.
Yeah, I think it is too. But yeah, Woodward, if
it's
now,
an effort to get them better, I guess.
Well, and listen, there's some of those private schools have filed, have sued to stop that. And it remains to be seen exactly what happens between now and the football season. I mean, there's a chance that all that goes away, for sure, temporarily. Mm-hmm. At least for this next season, which, quite frankly, would help us.
Why,
us being the Elks.
Yeah, why?
Unfair.
Just unfair for the private schools?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they see?
To have to move up with the enrollments, yeah.
Just split it up, man.
Make them play themselves?
Just split it up. No, they can still play us, but come playoff time.
Yeah, playoffs. Just they play themselves
go,
in playoffs.
Go play your playoffs and... You don't want to be a part of the OSSA's rules. Go make up your own rules.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I know.
I think the Attorney General basically told you that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's a, we can have that conversation this summer.
We'll see what happens, though. I know there's the possibility that that doesn't go through, but if in the way it's currently constructed, yes, Woodward would play football in 3A next year.
And they
year.
Went with that because of lack of success on the field.
Heritage Hall had to move up to 4A in because of how good they've been, and that opened up the door for somebody, one of the public schools that hasn't had success, to drop. And Woodward was one. Woodward was maybe the smallest with the lack of success. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though you don't think of Woodward as a small 4A team
by any
stretch of the imagination,
wasn't what 10 some years ago they were 5A. Maybe
they've
a little
been 5A within that time.
Yeah,
way sooner than that.
Yeah, that's wild to think that they were 5A not too long ago. I think they want to be more 4A, and now because of this, they're
3A.
3A in football.
Yep.
Now put them in a district with, there we go, talk about 3A teams we don't know.
Kingfisher, I'm sure, is one of them.
Kingfisher would be in there. No, they're not.
I'll tell you. I've got it.
You got the district that they'll be in?
Yep.
Tell me.
Seminole, Anadarko, Kingfisher, McLeod, North Rock Creek, Perkins, Purcell, and Woodward. That is a massive district area-wise.
Yeah, Gail's going to gas up the bus, start saving up the money for the-
Instead of getting us, Clinton, Weatherford, you know, cash is a long trip. Obviously, the city would be a long trip, depending on who it would be, but still. I mean, Kingfisher is
the closest.
Leaps and bounds. The closest.
Wouldn't be hard to get to. You go down that highway.
That's Woodward to Seminole is a trek. Purcell's probably pretty far away, too.
Purcell's pretty far.
Darko, yeah. Oof.
And they've been in the same district in a Darko in the past, so they're not.
Yeah, but,
but still.
They also had us, Clinton, and Weatherford to stop at on the way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even Guymon. They probably wouldn't mind seeing Guymon.
Man, does that even help? Does that even help your football program?
It doesn't help the travel budget. I can promise you that.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
That is not really a. That's a misconception to think. Okay, just drop them down a class. Dropping down a class doesn't necessarily mean easier football. It doesn't.
No.
There's competition everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you right now. Let's say they get replaced. Let's say they replace in what's supposed to be 4A1, which is where they would be. They replace class in SAS. You're talking about Chickasha, Cash, Woodward, Clinton, Elk City, Heritage Hall, Newcastle, Weatherford. They'd much rather be in that other district in 3A than they would in one in 4A.
That's true.
I mean, oof. There's going to be a real, if it stays this way, and the injunction or whatever that was filed doesn't affect anything. Next year in 4A1, there's going to be a dang good football team not make the playoffs.
I know. Yeah.
They're going to be a really good team that finishes fifth.
We said that when we first saw this.
Yeah. A really good team that finishes fifth.
We said if you finish fourth, throw the parade because that's you're in the playoffs out of a pretty dang good district. Yeah, I just remember when, and I'd say back to my point about dropping down. I remember when there were times Weatherford and Clinton, they're on that cusp when they would drop down to 3A. Sometimes they would want to be in 4A, want to be in 3A, and they had to play that game like in September. But, and there is that thought that, oh my goodness, they're going to dominate 3A, and it wasn't the case.
Clinton only won once in 3A, didn't they?
Well, they only won one title in 3A.
And that was a crazy game that they were able to beat King.
Circus catch, yes, a comeback win to beat them.
Yes.
And that was in the same year where they went to like a 4-overtime game against Kingfisher in the Tornado Bowl to win district. They had to outlast, hold on to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3A doesn't, I mean, so I'm not suggesting a team out of 4A can go up to like 6A too and compete. There's just a depth issue there. But there is that concept, like that people think, oh, well, 4A, if you're in 4A and you drop to 3A, the competition's going to be easier for you. It's not 100% the case.
Maybe on the whole, but not necessarily at the top.
No.
No. There maybe you're with the school that size, have the depth advantage over a bunch of teams, but that, yeah, but at the very top. I think you can. I mean, you see it. You'll see it here in the fall. Heritage Hall being a team that had won some state titles, they'll compete in 4A1. There's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah.
Well, hey, we have seen it before. They've been in 4A1 before.
Yeah.
And not only won the district, but won state titles in Class 4A. So, yeah, I don't know that it's a ton of difference when you get when you start talking about the very best teams in those two classes. All right, anything else on the A and B pairings?
No, I mean, now we know. And I'm talking – well, I've talked to one coach already, and she liked it. Haven't had a chance to talk to other coaches just in passing or anything. I should have. I was in the same building with about three of them on Saturday. I should have cornered him and asked him, but – the overall thing, you know, in the OSSA, they get this right more often than not when they come out with these pairings in Class A and B, right? I haven't heard anybody say, why did, you know, you're trying to find that, but then you find the answer. Like, you're trying to find, why are they sending teams there? Well, we know why, because these teams have to be here. They do their best at it, and I'm not going to complain about it.
Well,
I think they got it right.
Another problem for the A and B schools is there's very, 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 very few, if any, that have a facility that can hold an area tournament, size-wise.
No.
And so at that point, then, you're kind of at the mercy of the bigger schools, especially once you get to the area tournament. Well, the bigger schools are in regionals, you know, and there may be some of those that are able to host on their own campuses that take sites away in different places that would help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking of one right now, Washington. Washington girls very well may play regionals on their home floor. Well, that takes a pretty good area site away from A and B because it's already taken. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain places like that. Kingfisher would be another one. You know, with their girls, in the past, for sure, with boys and girls in the top eight, well, that's a potential area site for A and B that's not going to be because there will be a regional there. You know, Weatherford could be that in high school, the Weatherford High School. So then you got to be willing. That's another thing. You know, how many people are willing to actually do it and host. So it's you're right. I think you can nitpick here and there some different things. But at the end of the day, they kind of do the best with whatever the hand is dealt. All right, when we come back, it is A and B playoff time. We'll tell you about contests that will be kicking off. Start getting your entries in before next Thursday. Skinny on Sports coming back right here on the Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, Anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
First or last, baby!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Wrapping up the day. Reminding you, the Tucker family beef, 8 for state. We know where the pairings are now. So, you can start making your list. We need the 8 teams that will make the state tournament, Class A and B, boys and girls. So, 32 teams to make the state tournament. You will get 1 point for every team you correctly guess before the playoffs start. Then, once we get the state tournament brackets, everybody will fill out all 4 brackets, send them to us, and at that point, we will know who wins the contest. Appreciate the Tucker family for their support once again. Monty's figuring out what we're going to do. You know, last year, Ham got a pretty good plethora of meats from Tucker Family Beef. I have a feeling those sticks, the beef sticks, may be involved in this one, Jared.
Oh, I hope so.
Delicious beef sticks.
I think we need to sample some.
We'll be involved.
So we can really know what we're talking about when we promote this thing.
Oh, I really know what we're talking about. I can tell you.
Okay. Good for you. Monty,
go find them.
I need to find these. Where are they at? Them. They're at the golf course, you said?
Yeah, they've been at golf courses.
Let me get those in stores, man. Some local.
I think they are in one of the Sayre stores. Southbound. I think they're in there.
How about the One Canute store? Let's get it in that one.
It'd be up to them. You have to call Elmer.
Maybe I need to be getting in the meat selling business. If I can make that happen, Monty.
They're delicious. I'm telling you right now, those beef sticks are delicious. Regular or jalapeno and cheese. Either flavor, both very, very, very good. Tucker Family Beef. It's what they don't do that makes it great. Got just a little bit of time. It's hard to believe that. Here's my thing about today. There's a lot of people listening that care more about the high school basketball playoff starting. They can get analysis of conference title football on this station all day long. They're not going to really get much high school basketball in Western Oklahoma. Just your overall thoughts on what you saw yesterday, though, in the football.
I'm never going to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I knew from the opening drive that they're going to win that game, even though Baltimore went and tied it up. They had the swag, the confidence, and they had Patrick Mahomes. Until that, I see him falter in the playoffs, more than not, I'm not going to pick against him. And I know we got a couple more weeks, but I think you know who I might be picking in the Super Bowl. Credit San Francisco. Brock Purdy didn't panic going down big. I'd never really counted them out. I don't blame, and we're going to talk about all this, but I don't blame Detroit and Campbell for going for it all the time, because that's something they've lived on all season long. So I don't blame him at all for his aggressiveness on the play calling side. But I would have had nothing against San Francisco. I give them credit too. But I would have had an Eminem versus Taylor Swift Super Bowl. I much would have had that. You forget about the famous people that Detroit has. Yeah, give me Slim Shady any day. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait probably another couple years. And I wonder if they can get back to that level, or if this is one of those Cinderella type seasons for Detroit. But I was impressed with Kansas City. Out of all the teams, I think I was more impressed with them out of the two games. Because it felt like as soon as they came in, took the opening kickoff, and drove right down the field and scored. I thought, uh-oh, there's that offense. It's back. It's back.
Yeah, it's really weird because they first half put up 17. They were fantastic. Second half, they only had.
I apologize. Baltimore had the opening kickoff. They went 3-and-out.
Yeah, but Kansas City's first time they touched it.
They
scored.
Went down, yeah.
You know, in the second half, until that final drive, they only had, what, like 60 yards? Like 220 in the first half, 60 until the last possession. Baltimore kind of imploded. Four personal foul penalties. Lamar throwing a pick in the red zone into the end zone. And when I know there's going to be, once again this week, just like there was last week, conversation about changing the rule when you fumble into the end zone, it's a touchback. And listen, that's a punitive penalty. There's no doubt about it. But every rule change in the last two decades has gone in favor of the offense. What's wrong with giving the defense a chance? And by the way, they're not making the idiots that have the ball in their hand reach it out and let them slap it out of their hands. You know, the Mannings talked about it. You only reach for the pylon or for the goal line in two situations. If it's fourth down or it's the last play of a half, not even a quarter. Not, you know, so Zay Flowers, I mean, as much as Kansas City's defense was great and they did exactly what you're supposed to do against Lamar, which is hem him in, make him be a pocket passer, don't let him kill you with his legs, and they did a good job of that. I thought Baltimore went away from the run a little bit too early in my mind to put all of it on Lamar. But, you know, after all of that that Kansas City did in the first half, and that offense was humming, Baltimore did what they had to do in the second half. They didn't allow a point. 0 points. And their offense fumbled it at the half-yard line going in and threw a pick in the end zone. And that's the difference. But you can't turn it over in the playoffs, and especially against a team like that. So, yeah, Kansas City's offense hummed in the first half. Kansas City's offense looked exactly like it has all year in the second half, which was not very good. But the difference in this team this year is that defense is legit.
Yeah.
The Kansas City defense is absolutely legit. And, you know, they've taken flack all year about not having enough receivers and not having enough weapons on offense. Well, that's just to be what they used to be. They've proven this year that they can win multiple different ways and get to the Super Bowl different ways. They don't have to have the greatest offense in the league or whatever to even get to the Super Bowl. They can just have a Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like he is truly showing his greatness right now in doing what he's done with what he doesn't have to work with. But you see Kelce, you know, he looks re-energized. Maybe that's Taylor, maybe not. But then Rashee Rice has developed as the years went along. And then all of a sudden, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is catching balls at the end of games or big-time catches instead of dropping them. He tried like hell to drop that one at the end of the game yesterday. He just couldn't get her done to give the Ravens one more chance. But, yeah, you're right. I thought they were the most impressive just because of the team they beat going in there and doing it. San Francisco, you got to give them credit for, what, 27-0 in the second half until the end there when Detroit scored. Campbell, man, it is what they are. And, you know, a 47-yard field goal on grass outside isn't the chip shot that I think people are making it out to be, especially with Michael Badgley, a kicker they just kind of picked up. You know, and you look at his career stats. I saw a tweet about it. It's nowhere near a gimme from there. You know, the second one, you feel like, golly, everything's going wrong. If you kick that field goal, tie the game, but you still got to make it. You know, and that's just that's his DNA, and it backfired on him a little bit. I mean, heck, I thought it was ridiculous they were thrown in the end zone at the end on fourth down. I'm like, the game is over if you don't. It's an extra point, an old extra point. Kick the field goal. And you're still going to have to get the onside kick.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what he was doing.
Yep.
It worked, but that one was ludicrous. It's one thing to go for it when you got almost a 50-yard field goal. It's another one. It's a chip shot, and it ends the game if you don't get it at the end. But, threw the touchdown pass to Jameson Williams. So, you know, the results are in his favor. I just don't know what the decision was.
Yeah.
And then there's Purdy. Golly, I just...
He just keeps doing it, man.
He just keeps winning games. His team continues to win. And he makes plays to help that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, that scramble last night in the fourth quarter, looks like he was dead to rights. And at about 3 miles an hour, he gets around everybody and runs down the field and sets up what would end up being the game-winning touchdown. But, I mean, 20 of 31, 260, a touchdown and a pick. I mean, it's okay. But at the same time, I mean, you have to give him credit for being able to make the plays. I mean, he manages the game until it's on the line, and then he's good enough to make plays. And so
That's where I was worried when they went down as big as they did. That's where I thought, uh-oh, they don't have the quarterback to bring him back. Which has been my knock on him all season long. I was just waiting for the Mr. Irrelevant to show up. But he did. He was a big part of that, for bringing them back.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that one, Ayuk makes that play. It hits the dude in the face mask. You know,
yeah, he had some help.
It would have been a penalty anyways, but
yeah.
You know, they're just certain, just, you know. And then McCaffrey does what McCaffrey does. Debo did play, looked pretty good. I think it's a fascinating Super Bowl because we've seen Mahomes go through two guys in Allen and Lamar that scare you to death compared to Brock Purdy. But it sure seems like in the playoffs he has their number. Is Purdy that guy? You know, Brock Purdy be the one to vanquish the great Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's just the storyline is already there, set up, ready to go. I think we've got really good matchups in this one. The San Francisco offense against that Kansas City much improved defense.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, San Francisco's defense is fantastic. Can Mahomes unlock the secret there to score enough points? I think it might be a decently high-scoring game.
How's that feeling initially?
Yeah, that really kind of breaking it down and going into it, at least off the top of my head. Just first reaction to me is this game could have some points. It could have some points.
Yep.
But we get a good Super Bowl. It's probably not the one people wanted. Probably not the one people expected. But I said this walking out Friday. Sean and I walked out, and he goes, well, what do you think about my Chiefs? And I said, I'll tell you this. I think Baltimore's better than Kansas City, but Baltimore doesn't have Mahomes. And anybody that wants to bet against Patrick Mahomes at this point, do it at your own peril.
That's exactly what I said.
And I'm probably going to pick San Francisco and just hate every second of picking. Just like I did. I mean, I backtracked from my Ravens at first on Friday, and then I was like, no, I have to stick with the Ravens. I picked them to win the Super Bowl to start the year. But knowing full well, this is a bad spot to be in. On the opposite side of Mahomes is a horrific spot to be in the playoffs. It's just no good.
No.
It's just no good. Anyhow. I guess that the purple and red, can we put that to bed finally?
That's done. That's done.
The conspiracy theory?
Did you see the shot on Taylor Swift where she got mad?
Yeah, there was something going on there.
Because the camera was on her.
Chances they endorse Biden on the dais if they win the Super Bowl.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.